musical explores White Pass Railroad, and a new program to monitor opioids has some concerned. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad has been a prominent fixture in Skagway for more than a century. Today, tourists from around the world come to the small southeast town to ride the Gold Rush era train through a mountain pass and into the Yukon. A new musical tells the story of the building of the railroad in the late 1800s and the man responsible. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Upon this line, I swear my soul.
Clearly, the challenge of putting that railway through these mountains, it stuns everyone, I think, that goes on that train to wonder how in the world did they get this done.
Matthew Lien composed the music for Stonecliff, a production that looks at just that. How in the world the railroad was built, creating a route into interior Yukon. Thousands of people were involved in the construction of the railroad. This musical focuses on one in particular. Michael Heaney, an Ontario man born to Irish immigrants who made his way to Skagway during the Gold Rush.
I think really what appeals is to me is not how spectacular of a man he was, but how he was just a regular man who did spectacular things.
That's actor Billy Lake, who portrays Heaney in the musical.
Whenever anything stood in his way, any obstacles came into his way, he blew it up or found a way to get around it.
Canadian playwright Conrad Boyce wrote the production. Boyce is home in Ontario's Ottawa Valley right now. That's also the area Heaney was from, Stonecliff.
Stonecliffs were also the major obstacle that he had to overcome in order to build the railway. I mean, the mountains were the formidable obstacle.
Boyce says Heaney was the driving force behind the building of the railroad. Without him,
it probably would not have happened at all, period. There were many people who had contemplated building a railway, initially across the Chilkoot until that proved impossible, and then through the White Pass, but they couldn't figure out a way to build it.
For Lien, composing the show's music sometimes required a certain balance, like in this song, Tons of Gold.
We've been through nights when the mercury was 65 below, and the morning came with the cabin lost in 40 feet of snow, and the midnight sky was all agleam with an eerie kind of glow, and all we knew was day on day and week on week of woe.
It was a matter of creating the energy, the passion, the humor, the folly, and you know, two people falling over themselves and what all was going on, while trying to, you know, both be period clear that when people listened, they'd know right away, you know, that was from the Klondike era, but, you know, to have it also be fresh in some way.
Lien and Boyce have personal memories of the region where the railroad was built. Boyce used to live in the Yukon, and Lien,
I used to do this pilgrimage every year where I'd come from San Diego in the summer and take the ferry up the Inside Passage and over the Haines Pass to my dad's lodge at Desiage.
They've both ridden the railroad themselves. Lien says there's one piece of history that has always affected him.
There's a point where you go along and there's a huge slab of granite on the down mountain slope. And it is known that there are some of the workers under that slab of rock that were never able to be excavated. They died during the blasting, and their bodies have been left there as what was deemed to be actually a fitting monument, better than probably any gravestone that could have been created.
He says that's a particularly solemn moment in the train ride, one that makes him consider the challenge of building the railway.
And you think about the hardship and the challenge that people faced and the tragedies that people endured, and certainly the head of this project, Michael Heaney, you know, what he must have endured emotionally to accomplish this incredible task through such a rugged wilderness, but also to shoulder the loss of life, that must have been really something.
Looking back, Lien says a lot of things had to come together for the project to happen as it did in 1898.
To actually contemplate how, you know, the personalities that had to have come together at just the right time and place in order for it to happen, that railway very easily could not have happened. You know, so the fact that it exists today is the result of some fateful intersections of different people's lives here in Skagway.
Boyce says he's excited the production made its way to Skagway.
Because Skagway is a principal character in the play, right? I mean, the railway starts there, and Heaney was such an important part of what Skagway was, and vice versa.
The musical recounts the feat of building a railroad during the Klondike Gold Rush in the late 1800s, a railroad that remains an important part of Skagway and the Yukon today. And it doesn't forget Heaney's Irish heritage. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The Skagway performance is tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Skagway School. A state program is aiming to slow the opioid epidemic in Alaska, but some worry it could have negative side effects. KTOO's Julia Caulfield reports.
Mary Alicia Parr sits in a wheelchair in her Mendenhall Valley living room. The lifelong Juneau resident is unable to walk because of spine damage. She says she has been in physical therapy, but also takes prescribed Oxycontin and Percocet for chronic pain management. Surrounded by Christmas decorations and the gurgle of an aquarium, she says she's worried about new regulations restricting opioid prescriptions.
It's a very tough situation. Yes, the drug abuse on the streets needs to stop. It's awful. But what happens to the other people? I don't have any answers for that yet. Looking.
The Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, or PDMP, has been in Alaska since 2008. While the monitoring program was originally voluntary, it became mandatory in July. It's an online database set up by the state. Physicians, pharmacists, or even veterinarians log the controlled substances they prescribe. Those controlled substances include opioids. The program allows prescribers to check if a patient is already receiving a prescription from another doctor and discourages overprescribing.
The primary goal of the PDMP is to be a meaningful force in curbing opioid misuse and addiction in the state.
Sarah Chambers is the deputy director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. She says the monitoring program informs doctors when patients ask for duplicate opioid prescriptions.
That can be done through, at the front end, through providing medical personnel with information to make decisions before prescribing. That can be, the PDMP data can be used after the fact as information to help feed our healthcare experts in the state and make sure that they're aware of prescribing trends and practices. So from the front end of prevention to the back end of analysis and treatment, the PDMP provides an excellent glimpse into how Alaska is utilizing opioid prescriptions.
The main purpose of the program is to be an educational resource. But Chambers says overprescribers could face disciplinary action. Dr. David Miller is a surgeon in Juneau and registered for the monitoring program once it became mandatory. He says trying to reduce overprescribing is worth the extra effort, but he worries it won't have the desired effect.
I would like to see some numbers that show that this has an effect. If all you're doing is increasing workload for physicians and you don't get the desired effect, that's always a possibility. I have a feeling that physicians that overprescribe narcotics are still going to continue to do that, but it's at least a step in the right direction to try to rein some of this practice in.
But the new regulations could be hurting patients who use prescribed opioids as a form of pain management, including Parr.
They've helped me a great deal. They've made it to where I can get up during the day and be mobile, whereas before I couldn't hardly move.
She says she understands the restrictions, but...
Yes, it has been abused greatly by a lot of people. Unfortunately, the people with chronic pain are getting caught in the middle of this.
Parr says she used to go to a pain management clinic in Juneau. But since it closed earlier this year, she's had trouble finding a doctor who will prescribe what she needs. She believes it has to do with the changes in legislation.
They're frightened to do this, and I understand, but What about the few of us that aren't abusing the medications and are following the programs? What happens to us?
Chambers, who oversees the program, says there are provisions that allow for doctors to prescribe larger amounts, as long as it's appropriate treatment and documented properly. She says the program hasn't collected enough data to see if the changes are helping, but she hopes more data, due out this winter, will show the program is working. In Juneau, I'm Julia Caulfield.
For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur. Thanks for joining us tonight.